Good evening, folks. We're glad that you are here with us for the Wednesday night prayer service, and we're thankful that we can be here worshiping the Lord today. And what a blessing it is that we can come and worship Christ. How glorious it is. Even though we have to do it in different ways than we are traditionally used to, we can still come together and worship the Lord, and that's a blessing. We'll start with some songs. We'll start with I Am Resolved No Longer to Linger, Charmed by the World's Delight. So if you have a songbook or you know it, sing along with me, and it'll be a blessing to your heart, I'm sure.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. Unto him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
All right, and then we'll go to higher ground. We're pressing on the upward way, and new heights we're gaining every day. The Lord keeps changing us from image to image and glory to glory. So we'll sing Higher Ground now.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, for Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the tribal sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. but still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
And then another song, Look and Live. Look and Live. It is a wonderful message that the Lord has given to us in the gospel, that those who look to the Lord can be saved. And so we hope that that's the case for everyone with us today. Look and live.
I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah, a message unto I give. It's recorded in His word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Look and live, or will you live? Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. I have a message full of love, hallelujah, a message from the Lord for you. Tis a message from above, hallelujah, Jesus said it and I know tis true. Look and live, or will you live? Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah, eternal life your soul shall have. If you only look to Him, hallelujah, look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, or will you live? Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live.
All right, and then one last song here tonight, 402, Footsteps of Jesus. We follow the Lord step by step through life, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but He always guides us. 402.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where Thy footprints calling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway clear. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountain seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's mountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway clear. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. And at last, when on high He sees us, a journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus and at His throne. and make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
All right, now we will go to our message, and as I'm getting out my Bible, I'll just remind you about the various announcements. Of course, there's nothing, no meetings happening at the church. All those things have been put on hold for a while, so things are going a little slow with those things, but we will be continuing to have video services and services through the internet, and so that's still going on, and of course, the bills still keep coming in. The post office keeps working and sending us the light bill and all those things. So make sure that you send in your tithes. And remember that our location is at 407 Marley Station Road. And so if you want to come and visit with us when we get back to service, we'd love to have you. And we hope you'll be out to join with us then at that time. All right, let's go to our Bibles, in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians here, the passage before us, is one of a great deal of contrast. The apostle has a lot of paradoxes that he brings out in this passage. Someone once said, you can't judge a book by its cover, and that's very true, and it's especially true of Christians, because if you look at us on the outside, we don't look like a whole lot. But when you look at the inside, when you see the true heart of the matter, you recognize that there is a surpassing glory that is found inside. Inside of the Christian is the very glory of God. Consider this for a moment. The light of the knowledge of God's glory revealed in the face of Christ is an all-surpassing power. Now, I realize that's kind of a long and complex sentence, but that's exactly what the Apostle Paul here is talking about as he has summed up what is going on in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is the very matter that he is talking about. He's talking about the glorious light of the gospel. And he's going to now explain to us some things about the glorious light of the gospel, that it is, in fact, an all-surpassing power that can aid us and strengthen us and do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so we want to look at this glorious light of the gospel. Let's begin reading here in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And so the first thing we want to see here as we think about the glorious light of the gospel is that it is a treasure. He tells us here in verse 7 that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You notice the nature of the treasure that he speaks about. He says this treasure is an all-surpassing power. It is the excellency of the power. It is the fact that the power goes far beyond anything that we could think about. It is a power that goes beyond all our consideration. This is the nature of this power. And that power that is there that he is speaking about is the very nature of the gospel that brings to us the light of the glorious gospel of the glorious God into our being, so that dwelling within us is the very presence of God. This is the glorious message of the gospel. It is a wonderful treasure that is found within us. I've been several times to the Smithsonian and seen the Hope Diamond. Now, it's a beautiful diamond, a big blue stone, light blue, and very pretty stone. It's in a lovely case that's there that, you know, keeps the diamond safe because it's made of thick glass or plastic or something that you can't break into. And is designed so that lots of people can see it and you can look at it from all angles. And if I remember right, it spins even so you can see it. I can't remember if that point's for sure, but I know I've walked around it and seen the whole thing of it, and it's very beautiful. Now, when people go up there to see the whole diamond, it's right there at the beginning of the gemstone exhibit, and people want to see the stone. Now, I suppose there may be a few security-minded folk who, you know, go in there to see what kind of a case it's in. There's probably a couple folk who go in there every year and just examine the case and really could care less about looking at the stone. But the truth is, most of the people who are standing there to look at this stuff are there to look at the beautiful stone and all of the other beautiful jewels that are in behind it. They're not really there to look at the case. The case is not really the thing that's all that important. They're there to look at the beautiful stone. And folks, we hold the beautiful stone of Christ in earthen vessels. God made us out of the dust of the ground. And the glory of God is contained within this vessel. Not much to look at, certainly, but when we consider that it holds something of great value, it is an all-surpassing power. And this treasure that is there is certainly in us for this reason, so that people can see that the power is from God and not from us. The power is from God. It's not from you and me. It is from God that comes the power and the excellency. And this treasure is sourced in our God. He is the reason for this. And so salvation is a wonderful work of God. It comes out and God changes us and puts a treasure within us. So the glorious light of the gospel is a treasure. It is a treasure that we ought not try to hide, but that we ought to display openly to others so that they can see that same treasure and glory in it. This treasure is also a wonderful enablement. Now, by this I mean we are helpless in ourselves, but it is God who enables us. It is God who keeps us. And the apostle here in verses 8 to 9 talks about four different things. And he uses four different little phrases to illustrate the amount of weakness and the inability of himself, and yet the great strength and the great power of God. How that God can overcome and enable and keep our spirits going even in the midst of difficulties. He says we're hard pressed on every side. We are pushing in. We are being squished down. It is as if from every direction there's pressure pushing upon you. And you feel this pressure just squashing you in. As I thought about that, I thought about being down in the water. Some of you have had the experience of maybe swimming down to the bottom of the deep end, grab a penny or something like that when you were young, when they would throw a penny in there and you'd swim down there to fit. And as you would go down to the bottom, you would feel the pressure on your ears, and it felt like it was going to squish your ears. And the truth is that the pressure of that water becomes so great that it will even collapse in submarines as they go deeper and deeper. Eventually, it can squash them. And there's only a very few specially designed vehicles that we have that are capable of going to the great depths at the bottom of the ocean to be able to see the things that are down there because of the great pressures that are squashing them in and pushing them down. This is what Paul says is going on. We're pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. As God's people, we may face some problems, and we will. There's going to be some difficulties, but we're not going to be crushed. We may have some things upon us that make us heavy and are burdensome upon us, but you know what? It doesn't destroy us. And so this is one of those paradoxes that is there in the midst of the gospel. He says we're perplexed, but not in despair. This is hard to show in English, but he uses the same word basically twice in the Greek text with an emphasis upon it so that he's showing it. We might translate it like this. We despair, but we are not totally despairing. We are in despair, sure. We're perplexed. Yes, we've got things about us that, you know, concern us, and we're wondering what's going to happen and how can we get. But we are not at the point where we've just thrown up our hands and given up. We've just totally defeated. No, we keep going for the Lord. We overcome the problems that are there. I will admit, it was a little confusing when they said to us, oh, you can't have church services. You need to cut back. You need to, you know, go away from these things. And I wondered, well, you know, should we just go ahead and have the church services anyway? I mean, after all, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. And it says the Congress shall make no law respecting religion nor the free exercise thereof. Therefore, technically speaking, they don't have any right to say anything about this matter. Maybe we ought to just have services. But then I remembered, I also have another job. I have a job to be a pastor. It is my job to shepherd the souls of the folks that are in our church and to be concerned about them, to care about them, to care for that which is best. And so looking out and thinking about that, I realized, you know, there's some folks who are concerned about this. They are, in a sense, despair. Despair has come upon them. What are we going to do? We're perplexed. We feel like we, you know, our family might get sick. We might die from this. People are warning us. Maybe we ought to. I thought, all right, let's do the prudent thing. Let's do the careful thing. Let's be cautious on this. We will go ahead. We'll cancel the services. But now we're going to have to do something different. The Word of God's still going to have to go forward. So how are we going to get the Word of God out if we can't meet? Well, let's see. When I was little, we did drive-in theaters. We could do a drive-in. We have everybody sit out there. I get the bullhorn out, and I'll talk real loud and yell at the cars. And people in the cars can roll down their window, and hopefully it's not raining, and they'll be able to hear. And, I thought, that's a possibility. Sounds a bit odd, but it might work. I don't know. We're kind of on a busy road. I didn't think that would work out so well. But then some of the men said, well, why don't we do a live stream? Okay. Now, I must confess, I know nothing about all of this, okay? I don't know anything about all of these kinds of things, but that's all right. Some do, and they understand what to do, and I'm thankful for those that do. And so while it was despairing, I wasn't, you know, totally in despair. Well, throw up our hands, cancel church, sell the property, you know, we're doomed. No, we're going to keep going for God. Might be different from what we are, but we're going to keep going for God. Yes, we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. Now, unfortunately, in our country, we are not facing persecution, but there are places in the world where they are. There are places where Christians are cast into prison for their faith, where they are thrown into jail for their faith, where people do burn churches down, and where people do come and beat up Christians and drag them out in the street and pummel them because they are a Christian. There are some places like that, and it's a sad situation. And the Apostle Paul had known these kinds of things. We could go back and look in the Acts of all the things that the Apostle went through, the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and all these problems that he went through, all of the difficulties that he faced. He knew all of these things. He was persecuted, but he wasn't abandoned. In the midst of all these things, God never forsook him. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And God will not forsake us. Should we have to face persecution? Should we have to go through those things? Should people be making fun of you and you feel like that's a persecution? Hey, God has not abandoned you. God hasn't left you. God is still there with us. We are struck bound, but we are not destroyed. They might knock you down, but you know what? You can still get up. You haven't been beaten down yet. You can still rise back up and keep going for God. And so you see that while as a Christian we go through life, we face tribulations, we face trials, we face difficulties, we have problems. There are things that push us down and that hurt us, and we wonder to ourselves, why? Guess what? God has not let us be beaten. We can still get up. We can still go on for the Lord. And so we have the glorious light of the gospel in us. It is a treasure and it is an enablement. It is also a paradox. In verses 10 and 11, really, he repeats the same thing. Verse 10a and verse 11a. 11a really amplifies 10a, and 11b really amplifies 10a or 10b. I know that's a little confusing. But anyway, that's what's going on. The verse is really saying kind of the same thing. Now, I'm going to look at it from a different angle, but it is really saying very similar things. Both of these verses are talking about the paradox. The power of God is expressed paradoxically. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the last four statements. He's talking about the fact that we are pressed and we are perplexed and we are persecuted and we're punched down. All these things he's saying, these are the things that we carry around in our body as Christians. As we serve the Lord, there's always these resistances. It would always be easier to sit home on Sunday. It would always be easier to sit home on Wednesday. It would always be easier not to serve the Lord. It would always be easier just to do whatever you want. It would be easier to be selfish than to be focused upon others. It would be easier to do whatever you want to do. But we bring ourselves under and are obedient to Scripture and we do the right thing and we serve the Lord. Why? Because that is the right thing to do. That's what the Lord wants. And so we carry around in our body the death of Jesus. And for the Apostle Paul, it was quite a literal carrying around in his body the death of Jesus. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord. Those beatings that the Romans would give with the rod would leave some nasty welts on your back. These things were not simple little beatings and being stoned to death, beaten with stones till people think you're dead. I'm sure left some bruises and some scars in his body. When he was there in the prison and they would put those shackles on his hands and shackles on his feet and leave him sitting in stocks, there is no doubt that there were scars left on his wrists and scars on his ankles. Yes, he had in his body the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bore these things in his body. Now, why was that? So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. If the death of Christ is revealed in us, then so will be the life of Jesus. The life of Christ will also be revealed in our bodies. The life of Jesus shines through, despite the fact that we are perplexed and we face problems and we have troubles and we're distressed and there's difficulties and there's problems. Guess what he says? The light of the gospel still shines through. The gospel message is that Jesus died and rose again. And that gospel message is lived out in our lives. Our lives are a very proclamation of the gospel. While we are exposed to death, we are continually upheld. We are caused to triumph. We are made to be more than conquerors. Now, these are verses, all verses that Paul speaks of these various things. In Romans 8 and 35 to 39, he talks about the fact that we are upheld, that we are held up, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. That we are caused to triumph is found there in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10. And again in chapter 2 and verse 14. And the fact that we are more than conquerors is found there in Philippians 3 and verse 10. And again in chapter 4 and verses 12 to 13. These are all things that the apostle says have come out and are displayed. God shows these things to be so. How can he show these things to be so? Through the persecutions that go in the body. So we need to see them in the light. Christianity is a paradox. If we're going to have the life of Christ and we want the life of Christ, then we must also bear the death of Christ. We cannot abandon the one. We cannot forsake the other. We need to have both in us. And thus there is this paradox. And verse 11 really says that same thing. It re-stresses and emphasizes the same paradox. But I want to look at it from a slightly different vantage point. In verse 11, I want to look at it from the vantage points of it is a revelation. For the life which we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be revealed or manifested, demonstrated in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus is shown out in us. We who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. And Christians are, at times, put at odds with others on the account of Christ. There are times when people get upset with you because you're a Christian and they don't like you and they don't want to hear about it and they don't want to listen and they don't want to talk about it and all those kind of things. And that's the case. But what happens? He says, so that the life also may be revealed in our mortal bodies. Now again, we've kind of talked about those verses and what they mean, but I want to go on and think about it in this light here. He says, why do we face so many troubles? The reason we face so many troubles is so Christ can be seen in you. That's why. Now, I personally would not think to display God's glory this way. If it was up to me and I was doing it, I would think to all go well for Christians. Things would just be wonderful and glorious all the time, and everything would work out just perfectly. You know, your gardens would grow and there'd be no weeds. You wouldn't have to weed your flowers. Your roof would never wear out. Your windows wouldn't get broke. Your kids would grow up perfect. Everything would be wonderful. Your car wouldn't break down. You know, life would just be grand. But if that was what was happening, and that was what people saw, then there would be a whole host of folks who would want to join in Christianity, not because of a love for the Savior, but because of the benefits they can reap. God made it so that the life of the Christian is set up so that when people come, they see the death, and if they're coming, they're coming because they want Jesus. They want Christ. They love the Savior, and they want to turn from their sins and know God. They are going to be willing to cast off the things of this world. And they're going to have their treasure in another place. They're going to recognize that this world is not their home. If we set it up the way I would set it up, then people would be coming in saying, "Wow, this is great. I can live wonderfully here." And that's exactly what they would do. And so it is a revelation. It is preaching a message. It is demonstrating a truth. Which is why, as Christians, we cannot allow these pressures and these perplexities and these persecutions and these punches to knock us down and keep us out. We have to get back up and keep going for the Lord. Why? Because we're showing that while we carry the death of Christ, the light of God's glory is in us. It is an all-surpassing power. It can overcome these things. It can ultimately bring us to that glorious end, and it will call people to leave this world of sin and iniquity and selfishness and covetousness and vileness and follow after the Savior. There is the great theologic reason that is there. And to these Corinthians, the apostle is pointing this out because they were pointing out all of his errors, that he wasn't eloquent, that he could not speak well, that he did not look very good, that he didn't have a great persona. He didn't look like the perfect man. None of those things. Matter of fact, he looked like he was always being beaten on and weak and frail. And as a result, it must be that God hates him, because if God loved him, then certainly things would be going grand. And Paul here is refuting that false belief in their lives. In verse 12, we see that the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel, is sufficient for each calling. You know, the apostle Paul here was given a special calling. So then death worketh in us. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 16, we read this. In Acts chapter 9, verse 16, it gives us this message. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, this is in the context of where the Lord Jesus, is telling Ananias that he is to go to Paul and he is to lay his hands on him that he can see, so he can see after this Damascus vision that he had, and he was blinded. And Ananias didn't want to go. And Ananias said, "You know, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And the Lord said to him, "Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him." Would you like to know what your future is going to be? Sure, we would, wouldn't we? We would love that, right? What if God showed you, here's your future. You're going to get to Philippi. They're going to beat you up and put you in a prison, leaving you sitting there for about 8 hours with your back bloody and beaten with blood running down. Would you like that? They're going to hate you, despise you, call all kinds of names to you, be mean to you. You're going to check into every jail in every city you go to. You're going to be beaten. There'll be times when people are going to try to rip you apart. Would you really like to know what you're going to have to go through? Here God says, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Apostle Paul was given a special calling. He was given a special calling of God to suffer for him. Most of us couldn't have done what he did. Most of us would have quit. He was a unique person that was able to bear that, to allow God's Spirit to so strengthen him and enable him that he was able to go on. And so the calling of God is sufficient. But notice what he adds at the end of that verse. So then death worketh in us, but life works in you. Life in you. The work that he was going through was bringing about life in the majority of Christians. To the majority of Christians, it has been a normal Christian life. Most Christians, over the course of history, have lived what we would call just a normal Christian life. Now, what does that really mean? It means that they get up and they do the normal things of life. They go to work, they come home, they eat dinner, they go to bed, they get up, they do the normal things. They go to church, they worship the Lord, they pray, they read their Bible, they obey the scriptures, they do the things that God has told them. They live out a Christian life. They didn't face all kinds of persecution. They didn't face inordinate troubles. They weren't beaten in every city. They weren't cast down. They weren't stoned to death. They weren't spending days and night in the deep. They weren't facing all kinds of Roman imprisonments and death. Most of us will never know those kinds of things. And yet, it takes a great deal of grace to live godly in those situations. It's easy for the person who does not face great persecution, for them to be called unto worldliness. One of the things that the pastors lamented when Russia opened up and when the persecution of the communist government ceased and the country opened up to the gospel and the country opened up and stopped persecuting Christians, the pastors all said this pretty much unanimously. People are going to join us who really aren't devoted. And it's going to bring into our churches all manner of impurity. Because when you're facing persecution for worshiping the Lord, you're not going to do it unless you really believe it. And so these pastors recognize that, you know, it's a special calling to live in a place like America where you don't have all kinds of afflictions, and yet you're still supposed to hate this world and love Christ. We're not to love the world, neither the things in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, I think I said that twice, are not of this world, but you know, are not of God, but they're of this world. These are the things that we're not to love. And so it takes a calling. And folks, the grace of God, the gospel light that is in you, is sufficient in power. It is strong enough to overcome the physical afflictions that Paul faced, the mental afflictions that others have faced, and it is strong enough to overcome even the difficulties and temptations of the normal Christian life. We have no excuse for not living godly in Christ Jesus. The Lord enables us. The light of the glory of God is an all-surpassing power. That power can accomplish what it needs. And so I want to encourage us in these times of troubles and difference where we are facing situations that we've never had to face before, where we can't have services and all of this, and we're kind of stuck in our houses and just not doing a lot. Don't get destroyed. Keep serving the Lord. You have within you the all-surpassing power of God, the light of the glory of God seen in the face of Christ dwells in your heart. Let that light so shine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to think about some of the things that are here. And we pray that that glorious light of the gospel might shine forth in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we take the prayer request. We normally do that and have prayer requests. And of course, we don't have any way to take the prayer request from the audience. Normally, I just say, we'll take prayer requests, and I call on folks out there in the audience. But unfortunately, the Oak family, the Red Oak family, that's talking about the pews, they don't make many requests. And so we'll just have to remember the ones that we can and go ahead and have a word of prayer. So let's look to the Lord and ask His blessing for our church and for our church family and for all the things we need. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be able to come together on a Wednesday night with the folks and to be able to pray. And Lord, you know that there are burdens upon the hearts of many folks in our church. There are concerns in their lives. Some are facing all kinds of things I know nothing of. And Lord, we can't take the prayer request in the way we normally do. And so, Lord, we're not really aware of all of the things that would normally be expressed. And sometimes people are afraid to put things out in a more public venue. And so, Father, we just pray that you will work in each situation. Father, you know each burden, you know each heartache, you know each concern, you know each worry, you know what is there in the life. And we're asking that, Lord, you might take and give strength, that you might help, that you might enable, that you might keep, that you might, Lord, direct and guide, and that every need will be met. And Lord, if there's any that are sick in our church, we pray you'll touch them and help them. Lord, I don't know of anyone right now that is sick, and so we are very thankful for that. But I know there are folks who are recovering from other surgeries and things that they had before this virus thing came out. And Lord, some in our church traditionally get allergies in the springtime as we're getting the flowers out, and some get the bronchitis that comes sometimes from those things, and some have asthma problems. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll strengthen all of us and encourage us and help us through all of these difficulties and these problems. And, Lord, continue to watch over us. And we do pray for our nation and our leaders. We know that they need wisdom, and we pray that you will grant to them this wisdom, that, Lord, we might have that opportunity of leading a quiet and peaceable life. We're thankful for all those who are involved in the care of others at this time and those who are still called to work, and we pray that you'll protect them and keep them from getting ill. We pray, Father, for our military that protects us against assaults, and Lord, we know that the wicked men do not cease from their wickedness and their plottings and their schemings in the midst of sickness. They still look to do wrong, and so we pray that you will protect us and keep us and keep our military and keep them safe and help them to be able to do the work that they are called to do. For our policemen, our firemen, our nurses, our doctors, all of those who are involved in keeping us safe and protecting us in various ways, we pray that, Lord, you might watch over them and help them and strengthen them and enable them. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing on that, and even for our industrial leaders who are trying to figure out how to get more masks and more gowns and all the things that people need to protect themselves as they do their job. We pray that, Father, we can get all these things worked out and all of these situations can be resolved and things can go forward. And so, Lord, we just pray for thy blessing and thy help on all these matters. And Lord, we think about our church and we pray for our church families. We pray that you'll help our husbands and wives to love one another, be faithful to one another. May you help them in the raising of their children, Lord, that they might see the young people growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray each child may grow to be saved, that each child will grow to love Christ, that they will be godly and righteous and holy. And so, Father, we pray for thy blessing on these things. We pray that, Father, you will continue to bless in our school as we try to reach out through the video formats and try to do classes. And Lord, may you strengthen the teachers and help them with that. As I know from teaching my classes, it's a lot of extra time in trying to get all of these papers graded and all these emails answered, and certainly a lot of work. But Lord, we're just thankful that we can continue on and that we can carry on, and that we can continue to do the work of the Lord. And so, Father, we pray for thy blessing, and we pray even for next year as we plan that, Lord, you would give wisdom to know the right way to go and the staff to hire, and what's going to happen there in the future, Lord. So we ask for thy blessing on these kinds of things. We know, Lord, that we need you to protect us every day, and we're thankful that, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us, and that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. What a blessing it is that you are ever with us. And so we give you thanks and we give you praise. And again, Lord, we are just so thankful for the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, how many things you have given to us. We have the precious promises of thy word. We have your daily help and comfort. We have the promises of heaven in a glorious place. We have a Lord Jesus who is coming again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. And so we look forward to that day when Jesus shall come. But until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. And Father, we thank you and we praise you and we exalt your name for what you've done. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks, and have a great rest of the week. Hope to see you Sunday.